sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Attaboy, John, that's good shooting.
Thanks. I love to put that bullet, that torpedo, into that illogical, ridiculous boat called the HMS Beagle. I'm John Kurlinski.
I'm Stan Hudson, and we want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation because it's just plain fun.
Yes, and we take no prisoners, and we sink those ships when we can.
And all the other idiot arguments that go along with it.
That's right.
We're unabashed creationists, folks. We believe in God. We believe in His Word. We believe that not just the story, but the history it tells of how God made this place and how He's made you and me and what we're here for.
We think Scripture is clear, but we also think science is supportive of Scripture.
And fun sometimes.
Well, yeah.
And we cover every aspect of this debate. You know that?
Well, today we are going to talk about missionaries. And you know, John...
Well, wait a minute. Evolutionary missionaries?
Well, missionary... Hey, I think a lot of missionaries... Well, my wife was in a mission family.
That's true. Well, I was thinking, too, they also have a missionary journal called National Geographic. I guess the other side does have missionaries. My wife, too, was from a mission home. My wife's grandfather, uh-huh. I guess, was one of our church that we belonged to, was one of the founding missionaries over to India way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
And you and I appreciate our wives. We appreciate the tradition of those missionaries. We believe in the efforts of missionaries. But, you know, John, not always... Is there a happy story and a happy ending on missionary families?
Well, sometimes missionaries change their mission. And this is the story we have today of one such missionary who actually comes from a very prestigious line, is very acclaimed today by the world of evolution, but actually began in the world of religion.
Uh-huh.
And that is the family of the Leakeys.
Lewis Leakey and family. And Lewis was raised in a missionary family in Africa. He grew to love Africa.
He was born in Africa, wasn't he?
Born there, exactly. And, you know, when you think of Lewis Leakey, you think about National Geographic and all of the ape man studies over the years that the Leakey family is known
his
for.
His second wife, Mary, and his son, Richard, carry on the tradition, and we'll get into that a little bit here today.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about maybe Lewis's background. And here, how does a missionary family give rise to such a person on the other side of the fence?
Well, probably part of it where he was born. He was actually born in 1903 in Kabedi Mission Station near Nairobi in Kenya there, East mm-hmm. Africa. Mm-hmm. It was now Kenya, I guess you would want to say.
Right.
Church Missionary Society. And as a child, he was actually fluent in the Kikuyu language as well as English. I mean, he played all the kid games from Africa, and he built his own little huts that they had, and he was, you know, good with a club and a spear and mm-hmm. how to track animals. And he thought that childhood helped him in later on in life become very patient, you know, tracking animals to help become patient in his finding fossils and mm-hmm. neat stuff, you mm-hmm. know.
Well, he at age 13, he collected bits of obsidian, which is sort of a hard rock, a glass-like rock face. The flakes, he found out as he studied more into it, were actually bits and pieces of stone axe heads and arrowheads. And this kind of got him hooked at an early age in the study of prehistory.
Yeah. And he kind of, at that point, he starts getting more interested in the rocks of the area than the mm-hmm. people of the land, I suspect, though mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily a complete divorce. He went to Cambridge University back in 1922, around the age of 17, and graduated from archaeology and anthropology in 1926. So he's got a four-year degree and eventually got a PhD from Cambridge in 1930 mm-hmm. and lots of other doctorates over time.
Yeah, honorary ones, uh-huh. And, you know, in 1933, he was a young man, probably just about 30 or so, and he was married at the time of a wife of 5 years that had a baby, and actually another was on the way. And while he was there in England in 1933, he met a 20-year-old scientific illustrator named Mary. and asked her to help him with drawings for his first book.
Probably helped with a little more than that.
Well,
next thing you know, he's divorcing his wife.
Yep. And, they had an affair going on, and he divorced the wife who was pregnant and married Mary. And so that was a sad, I think, you know, already you see that whatever he learned as a child from mom and dad as a missionary and as a Christian, he certainly wasn't exactly following.
Yeah,
that.
He sort of left the mission field of Africa, and mm-hmm. when he left the mission field, he left the missionary idea of why his parents were there, and all the purpose was to lead people to Christ. And what's really interesting when you go into the story, he does say in his book that in Africa he had seen the powerful, positive effect of Christianity on this animist society, on these mm-hmm. people who just really didn't were superstitious and they were afraid of things, and he could see the power of Christianity and how it just sort of changes lives.
It changed some of the Africans you know, who had been enemies into friends and so on.
And they would take away, they'd end up, you know, they used to have a kind of a superstition in the Kikuyu taboo against touching a dead body, you know, because it meant to them that the sick people, you know, the Kikuyu people used to take their sick people out in, but when they were dying, out to the bush, they wouldn't want to touch the dead body, and there the person would die, and the hyenas would come and clean them up and kill them and everything else. And actually, what happened is that the Christians realized, no, that's not. You don't have to be afraid of a dying body, or you can touch a corpse. And they actually began to bury the dead. And pretty soon, the Christian Kikuyus were really in demand of being undertakers for that culture. And he'd seen how it removed superstition and made better people. And yet, despite evidences of the benefits of following the God of Scripture, and the truths that he had learned. And the changed lives he had seen, he abandoned the evidence of that God and began to start chasing after his fossils and his mm-hmm. supposed claims of what they were.
Now, he actually gives a statement as to why he left Christianity, and it's in his autobiography, and these are his own words. He said, "I had become firmly convinced of the truth of the theory of evolution as distinct from creation as described in Genesis." He bought Darwin,
he's bought the farm, and threw out the Bible, because I will say one thing, he was probably an honest scholar in that respect, because he knows that if you do not believe in the miracle of a creation, you don't need the miracle of salvation or recreation, resurrection, or the incarnation. None of those miracles are real anymore if you buy the farm of Darwin, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, he has a son, Richard, and it's kind of like a like father, like son, and you're getting this kind of paleontologist dynasty going.
Well, yes, and you know, it's interesting how the Leakeys in later years, Mary, Richard, and so forth, seem to begin to lose it a little bit when subjects of origin and displaying the great fossils that they did find. For instance, in later years, Richard joined the list of individuals who endorsed the Humanist Manifesto. He was one, in essence, who was saying that he believed he wasn't a Christian or a believer in God at all. He was an atheist. But look at what some of the things he said, and some of the Leakey said, by being concerned about creationists in America. In 1984, he, Richard, illogically refused to send any of Kenya's original hominid fossils to a huge symposium held that year at the American Museum of Natural History in New York, saying that, quote, such an exhibit was too risky in a country where creationists were active.
I mean, here the guy goes from reason, he's a reasonable person, to irrationality. What an irrational statement. And what even gets crazier is what Mary said. She
Mom.
Blasted the museum staff for endangering irreplaceable fossils by exhibiting them in a single room where a fundamentalist, i.e. religious fundamentalist, could come in with a bomb and destroy the whole legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, what a paranoia. I mean, you've gone from logic, and you've gone from seeing reasonable change in people and the power of the gospel to a total paranoia about people who are Christian.
Yeah, it seems sad to see such a slide in faith. And you know what? You have to think a little bit about Darwin in this story. He raised a Christian, and when he was confronted with a naturalist explanation of how we were created, it just seems like that he said, "Okay, I'm going to forget about God altogether." And he didn't have God in his life at all in his later years.
And it seems to, unlike some people who want to think that he had a late life conversion, but it seems that Darwin basically remained an unbeliever and somewhat depressed and dejected. And, you know, I think that part of them wished they would have believed. Part of them probably wished they would have stayed true, especially because now the changes that are occurring are in my examination of their own biography or autobiographies. It's like, you know, they've lost the good things that they really used to hold and believe and sort of slipped away when they lost their mission and adopted a new one. They become actually quite ardent missionaries for evolution and Darwin theory.
Well, I'd like to use a torpedo text, John, from the book of Romans. It kind of describes how sometimes people can lose their knowledge of God and how they kind of, dare I say it, evolve in the wrong direction.
Well, we'll read that. De-evolution.
De-evolution. And this is from chapter 1, Romans, verse 18 and following. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." Now I'm going to drop down to verse 21. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools."
And it seems that's the course we've just sort of read.
Yeah.
People who used to believe in God, saw the power of God changing lives in the Kikuyu tribes. Then they go and say, "Don't bring those dinosaur bones to New York because the religious fund is going to blow them up and destroy all of our years of work."
I mean, and Darwin used to say the same thing about in terms of he saw the missionaries in the British Empire when he did his travels in the Galapagos and everything. He saw places where Christianity impacted natives, and he saw that, oh, there's no question that it changed lives for the better. There was a powerful effect for good. Yet later on, you know, he just seemed to think it was all made up, this Christianity business.
You know what's really sad about the whole thing is that the Leakeys tried to prove that ancient man and their evolution, I think, actually began in Africa instead of Asia, where it was popular up until that point. Mm-hmm. And part of that whole theory was probably the missed belief that somehow that the African race of people were somehow less than human than the Asian race, that Asians were a little farther up the evolutionary chain in their thinking. And so they allowed the racism that actually bears fruit in World War II and Nazi Germany and the racist ideas that Darwin had actually began to influence their thinking of why fossils were older over here versus older over there.
They just naturally assume, well, look at the Africans, and in their image, that's evolution. That's half caveman. They said, that has to be the place where everybody came from.
And yet the power of the gospel changed the people that were very supposedly half caveman into just as intelligent, just as loving, just as civil, quote, in the British way, as any kind of Leakey ever would have been.
Which was actually confounding to some of them, and we've read things about that as well. Well, it's pretty evident, I think, John, that missionaries can sometimes go bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can lose their way.
Sometimes missionaries become, they adopt a new mission. They lose the vision that God has given them. They lose their purpose for existence, and they become paranoid and snivelly about the weirdest of things.
They lose that peace that passes understanding to the Christian. And listener, that is available to you today as you're listening to Sink the Beagle. We hope that you come into a closer walk, a closer relationship with the God who created you.
And you'll have something to go and share with the world in a missionary way.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from Seven Stranded Castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.